Happy Monday. Welcome to the Conditions for Magic. I'm so excited about this one. So, I make these series up. I take real teachings, of course, but I have found over the years that for whatever reason, there is the most interesting synchronicities with what I read and what I hear and conversations that I have. And I just find these themes that show up when I pay attention. And so magic is the one this month. And what I want to talk about starts with one of my meditation teachers, my primary meditation teacher right now. Her name is Susan Piver. And before I really started studying with her, I was just kind of dabbling, and she does these online courses. And I signed up for this online course about creating good habits in the morning, creating a morning routine. And you, if you come to Morning Magic, you already know this, okay? She opened that course by using a quote from a woman named Julia Cameron. It said, "The first rule of magic is containment." And there was something about that quote. I mean, at this point, it's probably been 8 months ago that I first heard that quote. But there was something about it that it struck me so strongly, like, this means something really important. Pay attention to it. And I have not forgotten it. Like, I say it once a week probably in one of these classes. And I say it to myself also. Like, I keep remembering the first rule of magic is containment. And so I want to be very specific about what I'm talking about, because I am in no way, shape, or form talking about Harry Potter magic, although I love Harry Potter. But that's not what we're talking about, right? What we're talking about is living a life full of curiosity rather than fear, living a life full of engagement rather than numbness, full of joy rather than judgment, right? Like, fully participating in our lives. And that participation does, in a way, feel like magic to me, right? Because we catch all these moments otherwise we would completely miss. You know, our tendencies can be to be so involved in the thoughts and stories going on in our head that we drive from point A to point B and we have no idea how we got there. It's like a miracle that we stopped at the stop signs, right? Because we certainly weren't consciously doing it. And our practice, what we're talking about in this series, this practice of magic, the conditions of magic, is the conditions of waking up to the stop signs. Waking up to these little mundane moments that actually mean something, because those moments make up our lives, right? When we look back on the day, there was however many minutes are in a day, and maybe we normally remember one, but what if we remembered most of them? What if we remembered even 75% of them? How would that feel? How would that change us? So in conjunction with this is like where all the synchronicities kind of come in. My own personal intention for the year was to really explore creativity. I got many good book recommendations from Ashante, and I've been reading different books on creativity the last couple months. And all of them have this central theme around the grit or the work or the ritual or routine of creativity. They always give some credit to inspiration, but the gist of all of this, all of these texts, like novel texts, big thick text, is do the work. Show up day after day and do the work. The inspiration happens somewhere in there, but if you're not doing the work, it certainly isn't going to happen. And so one of the books, the one that I'm reading right now, is The Creative Habit by Twyla Tharp. And she writes, in the creative endeavor, luck is a skill. Luck is a skill. And what I'm offering today is that in the engaged life, magic is a skill. And we attain skills through practice, right? One of the most common things I hear as a meditation teacher is people tell me, well, I don't sit down and meditate, but, you know, I'm very meditative when I walk, when I take my bath at night, I meditate, you know. And I'm not discounting that. That can be an incredibly relaxing experience. It can be an experience of being in flow. it is not the practice of meditation. That is a very different thing. It's really easy to feel relaxed and zen and lovely when you're in the bathtub and the candles are lit and Eva Cassidy is playing in the background and everything is perfect. It's much harder when things feel like they're falling apart in our lives to be mindful. And that's what we're practicing for. We practice in this moment, whatever this moment is for you, so that not only are we awake in the great moments, but we're also able to be awake and engaged and curious in the difficult moments in our lives. So if we look at it this way, the practice itself, meditation itself, is our first container, right? Doing this on a daily or mostly daily routine is our container for living a life that is awake, engaged, present, magical, right? And we sit in the same way every time. And this is really what I want to talk about today, is not even the practice as a whole, but the mindfulness of how your body is when you meditate, all right? And I'm not saying we all have to sit the same way. So if you're in the room with me tonight, we're sitting on the floor. If you're at home listening to the podcast, you might be on the couch or a chair. There might be times when you have to lay down, right? No matter the physical shape, the alignment cues stay the same. And they've been taught in the same way for 2,500 years. Because there's something about the alignment of our spine, the softness of our face, our heart, and our belly that brings us into this relaxed but awake state, which is what we're trying to achieve in meditation, relaxed but awake. And so as we practice today, I really want us to think about the mindfulness of the container, of the body. And I want us to think about the practice itself as the container. And this is different because I think a lot of us come to meditation thinking meditation is the magic. And it's not the magic. It's setting us up to notice the magic outside in our life, right? The meditation itself is the container. And we're doing this practice so that we can be more out in the world. Right, that's our practice for today. So as we meditate, and I don't know if this is true for everybody, but I will say it's true for me. I find it incredibly helpful to look at meditation in that way. Because the minute I start to think of it as some sort of magical, blissful experience, I'm very disappointed, right? Because most of the time, it's a pretty mundane experience. You're sitting here, you know, your knee is aching, and you're thinking about what you're gonna eat for dinner. Me too, right? But we're doing that within the confines of the teachings. We're thinking about dinner and we're trying to remember to come back to our breath. We're thinking about dinner and we're trying to maintain a length in our spine and a softness in our heart. We're creating a sense of preparation, of precision, so that even when our mind is drifting, there's some level of awareness, awakeness, mindfulness. So then when you go out and you go home and you're like, doing dishes is my time to meditate, you could say that and mean it because you've got the foundation, right? You can absolutely meditate while doing dishes and folding laundry and going for a walk and arguing with your partner. But if you aren't actually doing a seated practice, I would argue that it's not real. The seated practice is what gives us the foundation to be meditative in those other experiences. So let's try it together tonight. Yes. Let's take, I want to share a story. Can I share a story real quick? I'm sorry. Pause. One more and then we'll get started. And I have shared this story before as well, but it's one of my favorites. And this is a teaching story that I have heard from multiple teachers, meditation teachers, and I cannot find the source. I don't know where it comes from. It's old. And the story goes something like this. There's a student and his teacher, and they're sitting together, and the student is very gung-ho and excited and dedicated, And he says to his teacher, "Master, is there anything else I can do to hurry along my enlightenment?" And the teacher says, "As little as you could do to make the sun rise." And the student says, "Well, then what good are these practices? Why am I sitting here and meditating?" And the teacher responds, "So you're awake when the sun begins to rise. So you're awake when the sun begins to rise." So this is our magical practice. Now we will practice together. Take a moment to adjust. If your legs were already crossed, you might uncross them. Cross them the other way. Let your hands rest onto your lap, palms down. Let your eyes close. And if you're choosing a different posture, if you're seated in a chair, if you need to lie down today, these are equally spiritual practices, equally effective in their offering of meditation. No matter the external shape in this moment, take a second here to gather in a deep inhale and release a sigh. And we'll do that again. Just inhale, gather up your Monday, and exhale, let it all go. And as you feel yourself land here, wherever you are, however you are seated, as you feel yourself land here, start by silently saying to yourself, "Now is my time to meditate. Now is my time to meditate." And with that, we set aside whatever it is that must be done next. And we let go of whatever we did just moments ago. And we feel ourselves settle firmly into our posture. Wherever you are, start by finding a tall spine. You might feel yourself sit up a bit straighter. Maybe the back of your neck gets a little bit longer. The crown of the head might lift just a bit. And through the front of the face, we soften. Our forehead relaxes. Our eyes settle into our sockets. Our jaw, our lips, our tongue, they all relax. You might even feel just the subtlest tuck of your chin. Not even noticeable on the outside, but enough that you feel the front of your face settle. And you breathe however it is that you breathe today, naturally, easily. And you might feel a couple of those breaths move across your shoulders. So let your shoulders relax a bit, settling down your back. You might notice the way your chest moves as you breathe. In obvious ways or subtle ways. And I encourage you to invite in a sense of softness through the center of your chest. as if the muscles around your heart could just let go a bit more. And as we sit and we breathe, we invite our bellies to relax. Not pulling in quite as tightly, not protecting. And feeling the front of our body soft. As we sit and we breathe, we feel the back of our body strong, awake. The front of our body soft, receptive. And we begin to notice our breath. Just finding where you most feel your breath tonight. And wherever that is for you, inside the nose or the throat or the belly. Let yourself stay right inside that breath. You don't have to narrate the experience to yourself. You don't have to describe it. You just let yourself fully feel this breath. And then this one. And this one. As we start to work our way towards silence, this is where we invite ourselves to stay. Mindfulness of the body, of our posture. Feeling each breath. And without hesitation, enjoying whatever else shows up. One thought or 1,000. Silence or noise from our neighbors. We feel our breath. We notice the thoughts, the distractions, without judging them or changing them. And if at any point you find that you got lost, that you forgot about your breath or your body, it's no problem. There is infinite opportunity to return. to connect to your posture and your breath once again. Drawing in a deeper breath here. Taking time to notice where your body is, where your mind is. As you're ready, we'll bring our palms together in front of our hearts like a prayer. Bow your chin down. Taking a moment to simply acknowledge the time you carved out, your experience, your practice, your work. Let's finish together with a breath, inhaling deeply. Release a sigh. Thank you guys so much. Namaste.